Welcome to the Futile Podcast tonight. And we're watching a Christmas, New Year's Eve movie. A movie that matters. Celebrating Seth's birthday, August 9th.
You're dating this now.
We always date everything. I always say tonight, which I guess is like real funny, you know?
Why is that funny?
It's not funny, but apparently, like, you know, people with bigger podcasts that say that they put them on in like night. Then nerds complain at him.
Oh, got it. Right. Because you can't do something like that.
Apparently not, but you can. Anyway, well, Seth's cutting up his avocado fancifully so he can eat it with a little soy sauce.
Is he,
it's his birthday.
Cutting it in a julienne?
I think he is, kind of, yeah. I knew a girl named Julienne once.
Well, this is Julienne with an E.
Okay.
Like a... No, that doesn't make any sense. Because Julian Sands is with an A.
Right, the warlock?
Yeah. What else is he in?
Boxing Helena?
What else? Well, like come on.
I want to say there's some TV thing that he showed up recently.
Recently? He's not dead? I just assumed that everyone who was in a TV show or a movie that was in the late 80s or early 90s is dead.
Anyone in Warlock, probably? Warlock 2? How many Warlocks were there?
I don't know. We should check those out and see if they matter.
They might matter. Not like Money Train matters, though.
I wasn't really sure that Money Train was going to matter, actually.
But then you saw it.
Well, no, I've seen it, but it was, you know, a long, long time ago. It's really an oddity. It's an odd movie.
Well, it's like one of those, like, they threw a lot of money at it. Like, I mean, staging that...
Yeah.
Even if they shot it at Christmas and New Year's, still staging that stuff would have just been so expensive.
The director was not good, but it had the look and...
Yeah, he was borrowing from Rennie Harlan.
The money from... And not even Rennie Harlan. It looked like McTiernan and stuff like that. Yeah. It looked like that sort of thing. But it's Woodsy Harrelson.
Yeah, this is the big follow-up to White Men Can't Jump. Now, I forget. That movie is... popular, but was that movie like a huge financial success?
It was a big financial success. It wasn't huge, but rated R adult movies that made are considered a big success.
Back when it wasn't all just trying to hit 14-year-old boy markets and everything wasn't a tentpole. You could just do a movie like White Men Can't Jump. I think White Men Can't Jump is actually a pretty good movie. Like it's not great, but like it's a good movie.
White Man Can't Jump is good. Yeah.
This, I don't know. This doesn't have any actual, like, other than some stupid stuff to, like, the plot, like, the characters are okay, and everything that happens
I think Snipes is pretty good in it. I like Snipes. Yeah. What's his name? Woodsy. Woodsy always plays the same guy.
He plays kind of a Robert De Niro loser type, sort of. What?
What the hell does he have to do with Robert De Niro?
Well, Robert De Niro plays...
Robert De Niro has never,
plays
ever,
losers every now
ever,
and again really well.
Ever in his life played a character like that.
He plays loser fuck-ups.
The Raging Bull character is nothing like
he's
Woodsy Harrelson in Money Train.
In this boy's life, he's a fuck-up?
You think when they talk to Woodsy, they're
Jackie
like...
Jackie Brown, he's a fuck-up?
They were like, hey Woodsy, listen, we want you to channel
Bobby
De Niro in Raging Bull. No, they were just like, "Hey, just be yourself," you know.
Just have rock
hair. Do what
hair.
You do.
Is that a mullet or not? It's a sort of an odd kind of mullet.
It was just kind of grown out, kind of long. That was the kind of hair you had to wear underneath a Kangol cabbie hat. And plus, he was balding at that point, so he had to have it a little longer to cover that up.
Definitely, but high production value, sort of a bizarre plot where it almost seems like it was too.
No, it doesn't have a plot. It's vignettes. The movie is vignettes, but broken up into pieces. There's a two scene vignette about Chris Cooper being somebody who likes to burn people for no reason.
Academy Award winner Chris Cooper.
Yes. There's
what do you want to award?
Academy Award nominated Woody Harrelson in this movie. Two Academy Award win nominated.
Chris Cooper won Best Supporting Actor for American Beauty.
I think he was at least nominated.
He was
for
like the
too.
Dad.
Oh yeah, he won for that. Yeah, he was nominated. He was nominated for American Beauty. Yeah, he was the sexually repressed dad in American Beauty.
And remember, in Adaptation, he was the fuck fish guy in Adaptation.
No, it's been a while.
With the fucked up teeth.
Yeah, he digs out his teeth and junk.
It's a good movie.
That's a good movie. Woodsy. Has Woodsy ever been nominated?
He was nominated for People vs. Larry Flint.
That's right.
He was super indignant that Jeffrey Rush won. He's like, nah, he did a good job in that 40 minutes of the movie that he was in.
All right.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Woody had to carry an entire
movie.
Good
for Woodsy.
But, yeah. I think he might have been nominated one other time, too. But I wouldn't be able to say. Maybe for The Cowboy Way.
Yeah, him and Kiefer. They didn't know which one to nominate, so they had to pick one of them. Right. They flipped a coin, they picked Woodsy. Coin.
So Seth, you're the birthday boy. You're the one that's always been rallying for this movie for years. I think it's just you pulled it out of your mind one day. Because we saw this movie when we were kids. But
I watched it. It's one of those things that comes on TV all the time.
Except not anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't anymore.
Right,
yeah,
but
it's sad. The state of cable channels is not the same as it used to be.
Yeah.
There was some dialogue in here that I'd never seen before.
because you'd only seen it. Seen this movie for real.
The language years level ago. In this movie. In
this living room, we sat and watched it on a VHS and a TV that was sitting right where that TV is sitting.
I'm sure all the listeners are interested in that.
Hey, they want to know history about us. They like, that's the one thing I get, is I they want more backstory of the characters and their interactions. We're the characters.
Don't act like everything ridiculous thing you've ever said has been some sort of fake thing that you do just to be a character.
I wish this was a video cast.
Can you see me looking at the camera, checking the gate?
Check the gate.
Check the gate. Well, you gotta check the gate.
No. I think Money Train sucks.
It does suck so bad.
But
it's a terrible movie.
As movies that suck,
it was funny. You alternated between going on and like you would be like, man, this movie matters because of this and this. Then every once in a while, you'd randomly just go, this movie sucks.
Hey, you're kind of bipolar on this movie.
Both are true.
No, they're both true. It's like Roadhouse, except for Roadhouse is way better.
Well, Roadhouse is a lot more fun than this movie.
It's I don't know. This isn't not fun. There's a lot of banter.
I didn't have any fun.
The problem is it feels like something was made by committee, let's be honest. Like, they write the banter, and they probably had to ad-lib half that because they hadn't figured it out.
Well, Speed has the stuff with the subway. It's post-Speed. Yeah. It was a couple years after Speed.
Post-Speed?
Yeah, it's like 1 or 2 years after Speed. It was 95, and Speed was 93 or 94 or something.
It's basically like a Speed sequel with... I mean, even the Dennis Hopper character.
Thing,
and with the buddy cop, and then...
Brother cop.
A brother cop, yeah.
A brother cop movie. A bruddy cop movie. It was really like, I think it was just a way to cash in on White Men Can't Jump because...
Oh, yeah.
Because they were like, they don't have a plot.
Well, they marketed that way too, like Woody, Wesley.
There's a plot. There's the money train.
Listen, but the money train... Okay, so they do a good job of hinting when they joke once in the beginning and then joke once in the middle about robbing the money train. And then not until the third act of the film, after everything else has already happened with their own... family squabbles about the girl and the two scene thing with the guy who's a murderous psycho. After all that's out of the way, then he's just like, I'm just going to go ahead and rob the money train. It doesn't have the plot of like,
well, no, they
set your precious save the cat guy wouldn't approve.
They set the stakes with how the gambling stuff was going to come back to threaten his family. It was,
but they did a weak job of that because
they
didn't care.
What? Who didn't care?
They didn't care. They never cared. He owed 15 grand. They walk out of there laughing.
Right.
They never set it up as serious stakes. And then...
But it's,
and then
it's serious
listen
in the
to
bar.
Me. Listen to me. Listen to this very carefully. Then they threaten his brother.
Yeah.
And they use the N-word, by the way.
Ouch.
And they threaten his brother.
Yeah.
No, but then he... But this play... It pays off because he says, don't call me that. And then he kicks the guy through a window.
Roundhouse.
So Snipes, who, by the way... this movie reminded me of how great Snipes was. Snipes is fantastic, and he needs to come back in a big way. He was a huge action star. He was one of the
thinking Money Train 2.
You think so? He's thinking there has to be
a trilogy to complete
Money Train 3?
To complete the
no, he said the trilogy is White Man Can't Jump, Money Train. Then it has to be a third movie
to complete the Woody
Money
Wesley.
Trains Can't Jump.
they
have to try to jump Money Train over the Grand Canyon.
I'd watch it.
I would watch that movie. Anyway, like this, so they set up this threat.
Yeah.
It's like, that could be the big threat. That's the reason why they got to get
the
money.
Because
and then Snipes goes in there and just kicks all their asses.
But Woody didn't know that, so that's why...
It doesn't matter. If Woody knows it, it matters if we know it.
No, but Woody's already...
No.
Woody's character's already motivated to steal the money to save his brother.
The stakes are gone. No. The stakes are gone. The actual stakes are gone.
Because but the stakes are then that the heist is happening and the momentum is happening. It doesn't matter.
It's fake stakes.
No, but the stakes are still, it's still real for the characters when they're in the training.
But there's no outward threat. Except
they bleed the brakes.
They're just doing something vindictive and hateful toward the jerk of a...
Peterson.
The jerk of a cop. The jerk of a boss cop.
Robert Blake,
he's not a boss cop.
Yeah.
His money train has to arrive on time.
He's a boss cop.
All the, you
remember when he busts them? He keeps telling them they're busted? That's what a boss cop
does. I thought there was something about an oak.
No, that's from...
a superior film.
That's from...
Oh, the Wahlberg movie.
The Wahlberg and Chow Yun-Fat movie. I can't remember. It's got Uncle Benny in it, though.
Yeah, Uncle Benny.
Uncle Benny, he just plays Uncle Benny in like seven things. He's in Uncle Benny in Lethal Weapon 4.
Chow Yun-Fat. Wahlberg.
Anyway.
Jeff Phillips is going to be listening to this and be like, and he'll instantly be like, it's this, and he'll be yelling at this while I'm sitting here searching.
Yes.
It's this. It's called this.
He'll possibly on a train.
It wasn't on a train. It was on a boat. There was a boat.
Yeah, there was docks. There was some kind of drug thing going on.
It was a ship, actually.
Yeah, there was a ship that they were on. But the ship was docked.
There was containers.
Yeah, there were shipping containers. It was a little like Lethal Weapon 2, but not a lot.
It was a lot like
that. And it was actually one of the guys that was involved in that season of The Wire that was
on the Corruptor.
The Corruptor, yes. That said that line about the oak. Yeah.
But which was what? Let's hear it.
It's something about somebody makes a dick joke and then he's like, yeah, like an oak.
Well, no, they were questioning the boss's, like, not his integrity. His
masculinity? His manhood?
Not his man... Kind of his manhood. His ability to lead.
Oh, okay. His leadership.
And he essentially told him that his dick is like an oak.
Okay.
Therefore, they shouldn't question him.
Oh, okay.
And his leadership.
Right.
Like hard, like English oak. Like damn English oak from Prince of Thieves.
Like if you have a leader and his dick is an oak, then you don't question that leader, right?
How's he going to get around? Does he have to carry it in a wheelbarrow?
I don't know. I'm not an oak dick specialist.
Yet.
So, okay. Anyway, we've explained why this movie sucks. But why does it matter?
It matters. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
It matters because I won.
You didn't win. I had seen the movie when I was
I knew that you had seen it.
I saw it when I was like 16.
I know.
I told you I didn't, and you said you were going to make me watch it, and I said, no, I would never watch it.
I was going to make you watch it again.
No, you didn't say again. You said I was going to watch it for the first time.
Ian. As an impartial...
Didn't Zach suggest and champion watching this just now?
So yes, I did.
Really, I did.
Who won?
There's no victory over him in this case. If that's what you're going for, there's no victory there.
So he won.
As an impartial part of this argument, I have to side with him.
I don't think anyone won. I think we all lost. Big time.
So why this matters is this movie is 95.
And it was set in like... It was also like 2 hours long.
It's pre-9/11. It's pre-modern sensitivity era. And it is full of things you could not have in a movie.
A lot of off-color humor.
Off-color humor, racial humor. And it's got Wesley Snipes punching a chick, which he can't do. She gets punched multiple times.
He had gloves on.
She gets punched in the on the train also by one of the cops.
Well, that was a real fight.
Yeah. Hank punches her from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, you can't punch women in movies at all. And if you do, then you're probably...
Unless you're another woman, and then it's an empowerment scene.
Ian, can you leave your misogyny out of this for once?
I'll try.
Your voice was just dripping with just disdain as you said that. I wish this was a video podcast also, so you could see the disdain on his face while he talks about anything.
It's just, about anything.
It's just awful.
Sticker cat.
I think they can hear it.
Yeah.
They can hear it.
The way that Blake talks to them, you can't say that stuff. You can't, a boss can't talk that way to his employees.
A boss couldn't talk that way. It was all hyperbole and hard and completely ridiculous.
You can talk that way.
One thing you guys have tried to bring up in the movies matters.
Not in a civil service.
So far... Both of you had, one of you at some point or the other, with both Tango and Cash and Highlander 3 have been like, well, why this matters is because it's a movie of its times and it's not like modern times. In this case, it's true. In this case, it really is.
Very true.
It's endemic. It's endemic.
The problems of society.
The three movies that matter.
Tango and Cash and Money Train. Yeah. This so far is the list of movies that matter.
It's kind of an unmitigated disaster.
It's not. These are movies that matter. These are movies that matter.
Okay.
The Money Train so far, it had the most to say. However, it's got a very strong integration theme, right?
Absolutely.
So these guys are true brothers. And they're not They never throw back the racial stuff at all. It always comes from outside.
Like, even when Woody was mad at his brother, yeah, and he was in the bar getting beat up and they threatened his brother, yeah, he was like, he was mad.
Yeah. He was mad. So that was a real Ian thing. Mad. That was good. He was Ian mad about it. He almost pulled out the beast. But they did a few things to make sure you knew which one was... which thing was, you know... They wanted to make sure you knew which brother was black and which was white. Like when Wesley Snipes lays down the black pillow and Woodsy lays down next to him on the white pillow, just so you know.
Subtext.
It was a little subtle. I wonder if anyone told the director, like, you don't need to do that. Like, it might be more pleasing to the eye if you have Wesley lay in a white pillow and Woodsy lay in the black pillow.
Do you think the director, like...
The director is supposed to know every single thing. Should know.
I think maybe
mise-en-scene is huge with directors.
Here's the thing. If you look at that design, that pillow just doesn't fit the whole thing at all. It was like an extra pillow.
Because there was another pillow like that in the shot, and the director said, hey, let's get Woodsy a white pillow. And they're like, yeah.
You liking the subtext, Woodsy? They probably called him Woodsy on set.
I hope
the director and Alan probably, you know, had a good relationship.
So there's constant, like, I don't know, there's racism, there's the whole, okay, so they're gonna rob the money train, and in the end, of course, you know, Wesley is very, he's got integrity, and he's like, he's gonna stop this, and Woodsy acts like he does. At the very end, he does have, you know, a cool 526G or whatever it is.
Yeah, a good chunko.
But the thing is, if they steal part of that money at all, so even if they just stole $500,000, right? So
a little over half a million dollars
comes out of the gate receipts, so to speak. How does that get paid for? Insurance covers what's essentially tax money, or is that services money? It's all the same thing. It's all going toward paying for city stuff. Yeah. It's all city stuff. All the money goes to the city.
Well, that all loses money anyway.
That's true.
So how does that money get covered?
It doesn't. That's why the country's out of business.
Because every once in a while, Woody Harrelson steals money from a train?
No, because they don't run like a business.
So what would happen if they ran it like a business? In that case, to save themselves from that sort of thing happening. Where does the money come from? Premiums have to go up somewhere. Costs for something has to go up because that money is now missing.
Sure.
Right? So who suffers?
Poor people.
The poor. I don't have anything to say about this.
It's food for thought at the end there. It's definitely a commentary on the end of the me generation.
All right. Everybody.
Okay.
Focus.
Center focus.
Okay. We're talking about a third movie in the sequence, right?
Right, we haven't figured out the plot yet. We gotta figure that out.
What about
the Wesley and Woodsy trilogy?
What about Chaos?
Okay.
Give me a plot. Give me a what's happening. That's an abstract idea.
No, it's a movie with Wesley Snipes.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
There's a movie called Chaos with Jason Statham.
I thought it was with Jason Statham.
And Wesley Snipes is in it.
No, really?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he is.
He's pointing pretty hard at you right there. I'm going to have to look it up.
What do you mean? So you're saying
I'm saying it's the same character. He's a cop. Wesley Snipes is a cop.
He's been a cop in literally three quarters of the movies. Okay.
Well, Wesley Snipes was in that movie. It had Ryan Philby and all kinds of people.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying.
Wesley Snipes was a corrupt cop in that movie too, huh?
This is what I'm saying.
Okay.
It all comes back around.
Where was Woodsy?
Woodsy? Was the Statham character.
So you think they just couldn't get Woodsy?
Yeah.
And so they got Jason Statham to play the Woody Harrelson role?
Then it doesn't count as a Woody-Wesley trilogy.
It doesn't. It just has to have those three actors in it. So what happens in Chaos? Three actors.
That'd be like calling Red Sonja a Conan movie.
Yeah. So...
Or Cole the Conqueror a Conan movie, even more accurately.
Yeah. Or Wayne's World?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with it, but...
Okay. No, but it's the same character. The Wesley Snipes character in Chaos Theory is...
Oh, is it Chaos Theory?
The Wesley Snipes character from Money Train.
Well, he lost his badge, and now he's in Seattle?
Right.
Well, he's going to get to the bottom of it if it's the same character's name.
Chaos, 2005, directed by Tony Giglio, starring Jason Statham and Wesley Snipes.
There you go.
Proof is in the pudding, boys.
There's no proof in that at all. It has nothing to do with Woody Harrelson.
Look at the pudding.
All right, I'm looking at the pudding.
Just good
this whole time, Jeff Phillips is like, the plot is this. It goes like this. Just hurry up with it.
You know the plot. I've seen Chaos twice.
Yeah. I haven't seen it once. How the hell do you see it twice?
It's pretty good. It's actually not too bad.
Listen, I like Jason Statham, but I'm never going to watch any of his movies.
It's actually not too bad. It's not too bad a movie.
Dude, Chaos is better than Money Train. It's a Jason Statham, Wesley Snipes cop movie.
Cop and a Half is better than Money Train.
Whoa.
Wait, you seriously won't watch Chaos?
No, watch
Norman
it.
Norman Golden the Third.
Criminals.
Dude,
hostage.
Chaos has like 5 twists in it.
Okay, yeah, looks like the proof is in the pudding. I think you're right.
I'll hunt it down for next time.
No, it's not going to be a movie that matters.
How do you even know you haven't seen it?
It was straight to DVD.
Was it?
Yeah.
This is a new market. Everything post 9/11 with the insensitive movies have to be straight to DVD.
Sorry. Movies that matter have to actually matter. But not matter too much.
Okay.
They have to have been something that was put out there for mass consumption.
Like
and not just as a niche market. Yes, exactly.
Okay. It's going to be tricky.
So Ian, I've said why Money Train matters. Yeah. Zach said it. What about you?
Well, I mean, there's not a lot of new ground to cover. You guys covered a lot of major topics.
Yeah, but come up with your own original idea and say something, though.
Mm-hmm. Contribute to the podcast.
Oh, for once. Yeah, I understand.
Here we go.
Well, I mean, just to hit that same old chestnut of big movies with big, giant, bloated action budgets, blowing up trains and, you know, setting stuff needlessly at New Year's Eve and just, there's no way this movie was cheap to make. And so, it's a kind of movie
I feel
that
like I just partially drowned.
You won't see a lot of anymore.
How were we both drinking when he said that?
Because I waited for you both to drink. And then I sprung.
You
my
hit
trap.
That hoary old chestnut pretty hard.
Then I cracked it right in half. I busted that chestnut.
Once again, those things you just said, those aren't reasons why a movie would matter. Give us some reasons why it's socially relevant. We already said some things. Now you fill it out with the rest of the reasons.
Stuff?
Socially or culturally or politically. Something that actually matters. Artistically?
Well, there's not a lot of art to it. And socially, you guys covered the stuff about the race. That's also
some salsa
cultural stuff.
Remember that scene where they both thought each other's dicks were bumping into each other while they were dancing?
But there were guns.
Instead of it being his and J-Lo's dicks, it was just their guns.
But it probably was actually their dicks.
Yeah.
That was the
subject. Yeah, hey, what did you guys think of J-Lo in that?
She wasn't awful.
I thought she was pretty fly.
Yeah, she was pretty fly. No, I've never liked her, like I said. She looks better now than she did then, but that's not saying much.
What does the look have to do with the performance? That's only one small aspect.
You kind of got me there.
Taking on
really
the insensitive
did.
Angle there?
Well, no, look, I mean, like, Woody Harrelson looked like hell, but Wesley looked good. So, I mean, I can go with both sides there. I can go male or female with that statement.
Right, but that's still not getting into the depth of the
performances. No. Listen, in movies, that actually kind of matters. If you're going to watch something with some, like, gross pile of trash playing somebody,
right?
It doesn't matter how good Paul Giamatti acts. I don't want to watch him having sex.
Well, sure, but that's not the fullness of the performance and of the story. It's just the sex scene? What?
I need a good sex scene.
So you got that in this, and you
no,
got...
No, that was like a PG-13.
Right, yeah. but it was the duality of man, where you got it cross-cut with the fighting and with his brother being beaten.
Duality of man.
Yeah, that's
the duality of man was in there. Is that an artistic statement?
That,
or since
that's...
or since that has been so done so many times in every movie ever made, almost.
Wait, with the sex scene intercut with the
yeah,
brother
with somebody
being
getting beat up.
It's been done in Highlander.
It happened in Munich. It happens in every movie ever made. It happened
well,
in...
Spielberg did that after this. He was probably... Just
you
like
you
Christopher
think
Nolan.
Spielberg,
probably...
right before that, he was like, what am I going to do for this? And someone's like, hey, while you're hanging out in the trailer, you want to watch Money Train? He's like, that's it.
Just like that scene in Money Train.
Just like in Money Train.
He's like,
I was thinking.
He's like, and here, like a sucker, I always watch The Searchers.
Oh my gosh.
You guys are kind of undermining the Money Train here a little bit.
No.
You're the one who said it sucked.
I thought it was great.
You can't change your tune like that. It's not like he can just edit it out.
You can't change your tune.
I want Wesley Snipes to come back in a big way. I want him to
Isn't he going to be in Expendables 3 with Gibson and...
Oh, gosh, I hope so.
And
Harrison
Ford.
Ford and all those guys. Seagal.
Seagal's going to be? Yeah. I hadn't heard that part.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Is this a real thing?
Yeah. He kicked out Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis wanted too much money.
A couple days ago.
Bruce Willis has been a humorless
he's been
ass
yeah,
in the last like,
lame.
15 movies.
I still appreciate him for what he was.
He was good in Looper. I'll give, but I think he just doesn't care very much.
Wait, you got Seagal?
You got Seagal.
And Wesley.
And Wesley.
And Harrison Ford.
And Mel Gibson.
And Mel Gibson. And Mel Gibson.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not bad, huh? I mean, it's going to suck. It's going to be terrible, but I'll see for sure. Awesome.
I wonder if Rourke's going to come back. I'd heard that they were grumbling about that, and Mickey might come back.
Is he going to get Sigourney Weaver?
No, who's the woman? I'd heard that they got some... That would be a good choice for a woman to act.
That wouldn't be bad. They'd probably just go with Michelle Yeoh or something like that. She's really been the only female action star that was notable in the last 20 years.
But Sigourney Weaver is a good one.
They're probably going to drag in Gina Carano now, huh?
Oh, I heard something about some other UFC, some blonde.
Oh, Rousey?
But that's not for this. That's for something else, right?
She's the big new thing, the big thing right now.
Yep. Times are changing.
Anyway.
Post-sensitive era.
Money Train.
No more ageism, no more sexism.
Without Money Train, Expendables 3 wouldn't even be possible.
That's a good point.
I'm going to go ahead and say that you have no way of proving that.
I mean, causality is what it is, and this is the world we live in, and they both exist in this world.
A butterfly flapped its wings, Money Train gets made. 25 years later, they make Expendables 3.
Right. Money Train probably lost a lot of money for some people, and then it probably caused corporate restructuring and things. Mm-hmm. And you know,
now we're going to get the gift of Expendables 3.
The real question is, did something like this...
Is it going to be Fat Seagal? Are we getting Fat Seagal?
I don't think there's anything else other than Fat Seagal anymore.
That's awesome. Is he going to get... If he gets, like, a pool cue?
Or a sock full of pool balls?
Dude, oh my... Wow. That's a theater. We have to go to the theater to see that. Right?
Yeah, we have to go to the theater to see that.
If they release it
at the theater,
yeah.
Did you hear that?
What are you talking about? Each of those people is going to demand just to have a 3-second cameo in that film that they give them, like, $4 million. The movie, they're just going to get worse and worse because the effects are going to get so bad and just CGI. And every time they shoot a gun, it's going to look like Mario Brothers. And then
big pixelated.
And then there's 60 different actors getting $2 million paycheck for showing up for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and that's what's going to happen.
It's getting a little diluted.
None of them were as good as the last Rambo movie.
Absolutely right. That's absolutely true. The last, because he was serious with that film. That was a serious movie.
He was serious with Rocky too.
Yeah, no, when he's serious, he can actually make a good movie.
Well, yeah, he's an Academy Award-winning writer. You do that, and then it's like, how long has it been since you've... I own the first Rocky on
Blu-ray. You don't have to... This isn't some thing
for real.
We all lay our dicks on the table.
It's for real.
We would just set a fact. We didn't look at you accusingly, like you don't understand.
No, you just kind of like, waved off that like, it's like, oh, he didn't really...
Who gives a crap about Rocky?
It's a good movie.
Rocky should not have beat out what it beat out to win.
What
Best
did it
Picture.
Beat out?
It beat out, like, Taxi Driver and stuff.
For script?
For Best Picture.
Did it win Best Picture?
Yeah.
I thought it just won
Best Picture.
Best Writer.
It won Best Picture.
Well, there you go. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, Stallone can make a good movie still. And it's sort of too bad. I mean, I feel like Expendables could be done the right way, but you're right.
I don't think you can do Expendables any better than they've done it.
The first one was actually decent.
I think the first one could have been improved upon, and I liked parts of the second one better than the first one, but I don't think that they're
kind of
even. It
was constant winking at the camera. It was self-aware.
But I like
Rambo
that.
Is not self-aware,
I like
and it was awesome.
I like the
And the last half an hour was him just shredding human bodies on a battlefield. That's what a movie is supposed to be.
It's a sincere
one of his
character.
Movies, yeah. It's utterly sincere. He just murdered everybody.
The real question is if Dennehy's going to show up in Expendables.
You say that like it's
possible.
Well, not even that like it's possible, but like he's ever somebody who was in action films.
He was in some action. Remember that one we saw that one time at your house where him and a bunch of buddies got together and like shook down like the mob and he just punched that guy?
That's an action movie?
That's not an action film. An action film is something that all those people, you know, who are in the Expendables movies, one of the movies they were in.
Right.
That's an action film.
Well, then he was also in Gladiator.
That's not an action film.
It was a fighter movie.
How many people did he fight in it?
I think he fought two people in it.
Oh my gosh.
He fought Cube. He punched him with the upper deck out of the ring.
So this is why Money Train matters?
Go ahead and just use Brian Dennehy as your reason why Money Train matters.
No.
Get out of the way. You can use that.
I've talked about things already. You guys kept talking over
shit.
me. Like now. I talked about the duality of man.
It's kind of time you start pulling your weight in movies that matters. Maybe, listen, maybe you know what we're going to watch. Maybe write up a few thoughts beforehand.
Yeah.
And then present them at a later date. Mm-hmm. I tried that once, and then they were all useless by the time we started recording.
Yeah, they generally get that way.
But if you come up with something beforehand.
Dick faces start talking about Dennehy every time.
Yeah, gosh. Always with the Dennehy. FX2 was a pretty good movie, though.
It's a lot of fun.
People, you know, FX2 should just be FX1. FX1 is kind of pointless because
it's like the
Dennehy shows up in the last
story.
10 minutes of the movie.
It's like a lame origin story, really, yeah. Mm. You don't even know about FX2 with Raleigh and the robot clown.
FX2 is pretty good. You'd like FX2.
I saw it on TV once.
Yeah, you'll love it next time you
watch
it.
Is there a boat?
There's no boat. He's thinking of Cocktail. He's getting Ben Ben movies confused. It's a different
Brian
Ben
Brown.
Cocktail.
A.K.A. Brian Ben.
It's not Cocktail?
No, it's not Cocktail. There's no Kokomo.
There is a boat. In FX2.
See?
In two?
No, there are.
Yes, there is.
Wait,
at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a plane.
Yeah, there's a boat. There is a boat.
Boat and a plane?
Yes.
Okay.
So fuck you.
Fine, I stand corrected.
There is a boat in FX2.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, anyway, that was Money Train. Happy birthday, Seth.
Yeah.
What do you want to do next year for your birthday? You want to do chaos?
Not watch Money Train?
You want to do chaos for your birthday next year? I can scrounge that one up. Oh, but Zach says it doesn't matter because it wasn't.
It was straight to DVD.
Definitely
does not matter.
I'm getting concerned about this movies that matter thing.
It's not that difficult. There's half a dozen Steven Seagal movies. There's half a dozen
Schwarzenegger
films.
Steven Seagal or Van Damme.
Those are too easy.
It's not too easy.
Those are
it's not
easy.
Because
it's not because Hard Target is a Van Damme movie that doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
And I mean, like start naming some that you think would count based on what he's just said. How about Runaway with Tom Selleck? Does that count?
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
I've never seen it.
What about Under Siege?
Under Siege, I think, is a little too good. Don't you think?
Under Siege is so bad.
I think it's too good.
It's so
the gravitas bad. Of Tommy Lee Jones.
Hard to
though.
Kill. Marked for Death.
Under Siege 2.
What about Above the Law?
Above the Law, maybe, yeah. Maybe Fire Down Below.
Oh my God. Is that the one with Michael Caine?
That's either one with Michael Caine or Kris Kristofferson. The other one is...
I think they're both in that one, actually.
No, they're in separate ones. One of them set in the...
Alaskan.
One of them is the Alaskan with the oil, and the other one is with a mining operation in Alabama.
We don't have any questions about...
I didn't put
money
anything
training?
Up about Money Train. I've been too busy lately.
If you were going to question Ian about Money Train, what would you say?
You guys already asked me plenty of questions.
Ian, why does Money Train matter?
And I already answered his bell.
You did not really.
Your answer was really fucking
subpar?
Bad. Yeah.
I like that he rides that motorcycle through the...
It's neither here nor there. This is not the Money Train podcast.
Well, we did have an interesting discussion about the value of brotherhood and whether you'd be willing to ride a motorcycle down the wrong way on an escalator.
And he said he would do that for you, but you said you won't be his best man.
That's true. That's how reality is. That's a hard, cold reality.
That's not reality. That's you making a terrible decision.
That's not a terrible decision.
It's a pretty bad decision.
It'd be a terrible decision if I was the best man for his future wedding.
No, it wouldn't.
Because I'd be like, let's have barbecue, and that's it. He wouldn't have a problem with that.
That sounds good to me.
Best man's supposed to, like, set up some big bachelor party and stupid shit.
No,
like
he doesn't.
That's the job of best man.
Best man
is
supposed to be a bro.
Just be a bro.
Well, then but like a colloquial bro, not a literal bro. It's supposed to be your best friend.
Listen.
Did you just hear that?
It's not supposed to be your brother.
I'm trying to ignore
it. It's supposed to be your best friend.
It's your brother. Because that way you don't have to hurt anyone's feelings.
Oh my God, people get feelings hurt?
Yeah. You've been the closest male to him in his life since he was born.
I don't think so.
Who's closer?
To you? You've had all kinds of friends you've spent way more time with since you...
You're his brother. He's seen you every single day of his life.
You were there when I was born.